This is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood. Gotta love the sweet music of Chicago there, Hobbo.
Little Chicago. I do remember that.
Ah, can't stand it. All right, we're back. Delighted to have UVA head wrestling coach Steve Garland joining us now. Steve, are you there?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, we can't wait to get you going here. I know you're excited, coming off a huge year last year, winning the ACC title and heading on to the NCAAs, and all your wrestlers had huge years last year. The question is, how do you top that?
Well, I think the first goal is to win that ACC championship again. You know, you want to go back-to-back there. I think that's something our kids are really excited about. And the next goal is to finish higher than 15th in the country at the NCAAs. Even though it's a great finish, I think it's the second highest finish ever in the history of the program for us. We feel like top 10 this year is definitely within our grasp, and it's something that it's really a dream and a goal of our team, and something that they're focused on, and certainly my staff and I are focused on. So that's really the goal. We want to make sure we do better than that. And the first part of that goal is going to be wrestled at the John Paul Jones Arena, which, I mean, for any fan of sports, you know, any athletic event is going to be fantastic, but especially for wrestling. I think wrestlers aren't used to having that type of facility to compete in, and I couldn't be more excited about that.
Well, I know that's something that has to be very, very exciting. So here we are. It's early November, and you've got wrestle-offs right now as you get ready for this the Hershey duels that are coming up, and as well as the you've got these upcoming home matches this weekend with Anderson and Ryder and Gardner Webb. So what's shaking out with your team? Is there any new surprises?
Well, we had a couple cool things go down last week for wrestle-offs. We had a really good battle at 133 pounds, two first years, two freshmen, Joe Spisak, who's a state champ from Pennsylvania, and Gus Seiko, who's a two-time state champ from Ohio. So both these guys were very highly touted recruits coming out of high school. They were a pretty big deal coming out, and we knew that was going to have some fireworks, and Joe Spisak was able to come out on top in that particular match, and they're really going to push each other hard this year, so we're excited at that weight. And other than that, I think, you know, we're just really excited to see our older guys compete too. Jack Danilkowitz, who's our starting heavyweight, he's actually getting a master's in higher education with an emphasis on leadership right now and finishing off his last year eligibility, and he just looked phenomenal. I thought he wrestled as good as I've ever seen him. Chris Henrik, who's currently ranked second in the nation right now, he just really impressed not just the staff, but I think his teammates as well with what he was able to do. So all in all, I think it was a really good day for the wrestle-offs to kind of see how our team's shaping up. But most importantly, it got us ready for this weekend. And Ryder in particular is going to be a really good test for us. They've got some really good guys on our team. New Jersey's a hotbed for wrestling, so they always put out a good product. And so we're excited to compete this weekend as well.
Yeah, Coach, this is Jim Hobgood. When you talked about wrestling at JPJ, I thought you were describing low post defense of Tony Bennett. But no, this is a different kind of wrestling at JPJ this weekend. But anyway, last year you won the ACC. Why don't you break down for our listeners the ACC, how it stacks up this year, who's going to be your top competition in the conference?
Okay, sure, yeah. Well, the ACC is going to be the best it's ever – well, maybe not the best it's ever been, but certainly the best it's been probably in the last decade this year. I can say that with all sincerity. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal. We're ranked, I believe, on some polls we're ranked 15, some we're ranked 20. You know, we're in that 15 to 20 range. Maryland is right in that top 20 range. Virginia Tech is currently ranked 14th, I believe, in the country, something in that range. And Chapel Hill's got a great, great bunch of kids coming back. So between the four of us, it's really going to be some great matchups. I think the tournament at the end of the year, though, is always about who gets hot at the right time. That's what we've been able to do the last few years, in particular last year. We've just been able to peak our guys right, and we hope we can do that again this year and get another title.
And the tournament will be at JPJ this year, and that's in March?
Correct, yeah. The first weekend in March. It's going to be, and it's going to be phenomenal, guys. I mean, obviously you guys have seen the inside of the arena, what they're going to do for us, the way they're going to set up the mats, the way they're going to have the things set up for the teams and the fans and the student-athletes. It's going to be a first-class experience.
Now, a lot of your matches are at Memorial Gymnasium. Who are some of the top teams coming to wrestle Virginia at Mem Gym this year?
Well, one of the ones we're looking forward to most – is actually Rutgers. Rutgers is ranked, I think they're ranked maybe 12th or 13th, depending on the ranking. I mean, they're way up there. And they gave it to us good last year, fellas. I'll be honest, it wasn't pretty. We went up to North Jersey, and we came home not in a good mood, let me tell you. It was not fun. It's as mad as I've ever been at my wrestlers. I just say that with, you know, with all honesty. It was a rough, 6-7 hour drive back. So we're kind of licking our lips. We're waiting for that one to come on because we want to make sure that we get these guys back at home. And they've got some phenomenal individuals. There's going to be some great individual matchups there. But then we also have NC State, who they've got a national champion wrestling for them at 149 pounds, and Darian Caldwell. So that'll be fun. So there's a couple good ones in there.
Coach, talk about your amazing two-time All-American, Chris Heinrich.
Sure, yeah. Chris is currently ranked second in the nation right now. He's about as good a wrestler as you'll ever see. He's very blessed. I mean, God's given him a lot of gifts in physical strength and explosion and some skill set there, but he's a very hard worker. Right now, I mean, I've said this a couple times in the last couple weeks. I mean, our goal for Chris and his goal for himself, most importantly, is a national title or bust. I mean, if he doesn't win the NCAA championship this year, it's because the season will, in fact, be a failure. And I think that's a lot of pressure on him, and it's a big deal for my staff and I, but it's real, and it's something that he tasted last year. He was winning in the semifinals against the eventual national champion 8-2 late in the match, and unfortunately lost that match. And so he was very close. He's as close as you can ever get to tasting that victory, and so I think that's going to push him all year and motivate him and hopefully be the difference in the end of the year when we're trying to get that national championship.
I feel sorry for his opponents this year. All right, a lot of new kids, some red shirts. I know Nick Nelson and Jed Moore are getting ready to have big years for you. Talk about those guys.
Sure, definitely. Nick Nelson and Jed Moore. It's funny, a lot of people in the wrestling world forgot about those two guys, and the rankings reflect that. They didn't get ranked very high, and it was frustrating for my staff and I, but I think what it's going to do, though, is it's going to tick those guys off in a good way. It's going to motivate them in a good way. Nick Nelson was in the round of 12, which in wrestling terms, that means he was one match away from getting All-American status 2 years ago. He redshirted last year, and I think he kind of fell off the map maybe a little bit, but trust me, he did not fall off with working hard and with training and competing. He did a lot of great things for us last year, was on the side of a red shirt. So he's back for us. He's our senior leader. He's one of the most vocal leaders in the room, and he's our captain. So we're really looking forward to him anchoring our team. And also Jed Moore is another guy who came out of the gates right away as a freshman. He won 30 matches as a true freshman for us, took third in the ACC and qualified for Nationals, and actually won a match at Nationals as a true freshman, which is extremely hard to do. And he redshirted last year as well, and now he's back. So not only do we have some young guys that we're going to be showing off this year, for example, at 33, we've also got those guys coming back that we think are going to really add some pop to the lineup.
Coach, of course, I think a lot of our listeners realize you're a University of Virginia alum, and I think from that standpoint, you can talk about your team, and it's had a lot of athletic success, but I know you got to be proud of the fact that you've had a lot of academic success with your kids, too.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tell you, I think a lot of people around grounds are probably getting sick of hearing me brag about it. But I am on this, and I'll tell you what, one of the main things that I wanted to do when I got the job here, was blessed enough to get hired here, was that we had to change the academic culture here. It was a culture of good enough was enough, and that's just unacceptable. And so it took us a while. It was a lot of ups and downs, and we worked hard at it as a staff, and the kids obviously worked very hard. And we had the highest team GPA of any male sports team in the university last year. Our GPA was just under a 3.3 GPA cum with everybody. That's everybody on the team. So it's extremely hard to do in collegiate athletics, and our goal is to do better than that. I mean, this semester, I just got the mid-year reports, and we had our team meeting, and we're going over who needs to improve and who needs to keep what they're doing up. And our goal is to get over a 3-3 as a team, and every year moving forward, we want to make sure that we always represent our sport well and represent our program well.
Well, at the University of Virginia, I'm pretty certain that the cross-country coach and the tennis coach and baseball and everybody else is probably scratching their head trying to figure out how the wrestlers are kicking their butts in the academic side. But
they're probably not used to that, but hopefully they will start getting used to it.
When I was in school, the wrestlers were definitely not winning the academic awards.
Yeah, I had a 3-3 in my first three semesters, a 1.1 times 3. No, I wasn't that bad.
Hobo's kidding. Coach, give us some final thoughts on this team and what you're trying to get accomplished here in the early part of winter, and what the goals are now, because obviously that will change once you guys come back from the big break and you dive into the ACC competitions.
Sure, definitely. Yeah, this time of year, it's a really it's one of my favorite focuses of the year. The year kind of goes in stages. This stage for us is just get better. I mean, we just want to improve. We've got we've got a long way to go. The end of the year is a long way off. Our sport is a marathon, not a sprint. There's going to be so many ups and downs and peaks and valleys. So right now, we're just trying to tell our guys, have fun. Make sure you get out there and keep working on the stuff you need to work on, and know that there's going to be some times where you're going to be knocked down. I mean, not everybody's going to go undefeated. There's going to be some ups. There's going to be some downs. And unfortunately, in our sport, when you lose, it's pretty obvious you lost. And it's just you and the other guy out there. And that's a very tough thing to swallow for 18 to 22-year-old men. And so that, for us, we just want to keep them, their spirits up and know that this is a means to an end. All these dual meets, all this training, all the double sessions, all the 7 a.m. workouts, it's a means to a final end goal. And to look at it like that and not worry so much about the outcome, not worry so much about the wins and losses and what the record looks like, but just worry about competing hard and improving and making sure that you're doing everything necessary and everything in your power to get that year-end goal.
Well, Coach, the one thing we can tell quickly with you is the enthusiasm and the passion you have both for wrestling and the University of Virginia. We thank you for joining us tonight and wish you the very best of luck as you start your season on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good luck, Steve.
All right, Coach Steve Garland of the UVA wrestling team, and his squad starts Saturday and runs through March, April, ACC's, NCAA, and hopefully they'll have another terrific year.
Well, it will be very exciting to go to the John Paul Jones Arena and watch the wrestling team host the ACC championships. That should be very exciting.
And we've said this many times, but one of 7 teams last academic year that won an ACC championship. Very impressive.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. And I tell you, it was, you know, at Scott Stadium Saturday, one of the things that was impressive, that now the football game Saturday was very impressive and very good news, but they had not all, but many of the kids that made all ACC academic last year from all the various sports, and it was a long line of student athletes out on the field representing the various sports. So very, very impressive, and it brought to mind the academic part. And it is difficult, particularly wrestling. You know, it covers both semesters, so it's not easy to maintain that academic standing that that his kids have.
Very good. We are waiting on a call from Dr. Michael Wind. Looking for that call any minute now. In the meantime, I'm going to run through the UVA football injury report as it stands today. That will be updated tomorrow. But as we know it right now, we know that Tim Smith and Joe Torsha are out for the season, unfortunately. We know that Chris Broadnax has got an ankle problem. Landon Bradley's hand is improving, and apparently I think he has moved up from probably questionable to probable this week, although I don't know where they're going to put him because Odey Abushi at left tackle and Morgan Moses at right tackle, they pretty much played the game of their lives last Saturday, and going to be hard to explain that. This is not the NFL.
Well, in football, you generally can never have enough running backs and never have enough offensive linemen because they tend to get dinged up once in a while.
Right. Well, I'm certain that Landon will get back in the game, but I don't know where. We also know that Raza Dowling was out for the last game, and it still bothers me to no end that Raza has not been 100% this year. He's missed most of 5 games now, if not entirely, and
Now, you have knee and hamstring. Which is the more serious problem?
I think the knee has become more of the issue now. His hamstring must have healed up by now. The twisted knee that he suffered a couple of weeks ago is the thing that it most concerning. Reynard Horn has got a little bit of a knee thing going, although he hasn't missed any time. He's wearing a knee brace. Dontrell Inman and Chris Byrd, their ankles are better. And Morgan Moses, that foot injury didn't seem to stop him. But looks like we've got Dr. Wind on the line. Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, very good. Glad you could join us. Good timing, my man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're glad that you could come back with us. We just ran through the information that we're aware of. We know that Devin Wallace went off the field on the same play that Ja'Cory Harris, the quarterback for Miami was hurt on. Devin Wallace had a collision with Rodney McLeod. And we know Rodney has a hard head, but Devin had to be helped off the field. And but then I think Devin was back on the field a little bit later. We've gotten no word on what might have happened on that play. Other than that, it does not appear to be any major injuries beyond, obviously, both Torsha and Smith are out for the year. So any observations on your end or any news that you may have gotten?
I haven't personally gotten any news on those players themselves. I saw that play where Devin went out, but I'm not sure about if he is the exact extent of his injury or what his status is at this point. No, sir.
The way he got hit there, it just seemed like, just from watching as a fan, it might have been rib-related, wind knocked out of him, something like that, because that was a heck of a collision between the two guys.
Right. The collision was pretty impressive. A lot of times, if you take a blow directly to the chest like that, just bruising in the rib musculature around there, it can be pretty painful. There's not a lot you can do for it other than some physical therapy and giving it time, but a lot of times that can leave the athletes on the sidelines for a couple weeks. So we'll just have to see day-to-day how he goes with that.
You know, this late in the year, there have been a lot of ankle injuries off and on with this team. And, you know, barring, you know, a major tear of any cartilage or something or a completely torn ligament, we've got a lot of guys like Chris Byrd and Dontrell Inman and folks like that with that they're patching them back together and they're getting them back on the field. And,
sure.
You know, it's late in the season. Well, it's getting towards late in the season.
Right.
With these you know, minor sprained knees and these sprained ankles, what might the athletic medicine staff up there be doing to try to keep these guys intact?
Well, the biggest thing is just really during the off time in the week, focusing on rehab as far as keeping the ankles cool, ice packs, rehab, working on motion, and then at game time, really getting them taped up well or using appropriate braces. A lot of times an ankle injury will stay with the player all year, especially a high ankle sprain, and it can be something that definitely nags them through the year. Obviously, you can't keep them out sometimes until it's all the way resolved or they'd miss the whole season. So a lot of times the training staff is focusing on really doing a good job taping them up, protecting them as much as they can during the game but still letting them play. And then in the off week, really working on some inflammation reduction mechanisms and working on range of motion to try to get things to heal as quickly as possible. But, again, it's one of those things where it's like a groin pull or hamstring pull. Once it happens, it's more than likely going to nag them throughout the season.
Yeah, we're visiting with Dr. Michael Wind of West End Orthopedic. And, Michael, just a question. I see a lot of the offensive linemen now, you mentioned braces, wear those black braces around their knee. I take it just to support their knee. Are those effective?
Sure. Well, a lot of those guys may have had previous knee injuries. They're relatively effective. Still, when you're talking about a 300-pound lineman, if you take a blow directly from the side, that brace isn't going to completely protect you. So a lot of players have pretty significant injuries even while wearing those braces. That being said, it does do something for a lot of players. It gives you a little more support side to side, especially in the setting if you've had a previous knee injury, a previous ACL reconstruction. It can be pretty helpful, and a lot of those guys, if they've had previous knee injuries or ACLs, they'll wear those braces for the rest of their career. It's just the functional-type braces to give them a little extra support. I think it does help on the field. It doesn't completely reduce the risk of injury, but definitely gives you a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, would you recommend? I mean, a lot of coaches tape ankles almost on a mandatory basis. Would you think some coaches may require their guys to wear those regardless of whether they've had a prior injury?
I think that some players, I think, I don't know about the coaches requiring them to, but I think some players definitely seek it out, especially players, like you said, that are more on the offensive, defensive lines that are really in there pushing and have guys falling around them a lot. I've seen and been involved with teams where it seems like there's more and more of a trend towards those guys wearing those functional braces to really prevent hyperextension injuries or blows from the side or to at least give them a little additional support. And it seems that several of the guys I've talked with really think that it does, you know, not prevent completely the risk of injury, but give them some additional support when they're in the trenches there.
Very good. Well, Dr. Wynn, we have enjoyed having you on the show again, and
well,
we hope that you'll
much.
Come back later in the month or even December, perhaps, and we can talk some hoops as well. But, you've been a great addition this year, and we've certainly enjoyed having you and your colleagues with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're headed for our next break, and we're going to cover the Olympic sports. It's Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood, and Michael Tusky is going to take it away with some Olympic sports highlights.
All right, guys, let's start out with some men's soccer action. They've fallen a bit and are ranked 10th nationally, and 10-3-3 is their record, 2-3-2 in the ACC. Their ranking fell due to a loss to number 3 Maryland 2-0 in Charlottesville last Friday night. Goalie Diego Restrepo had 3 saves for the Cavaliers. Thankfully, the team rebounded to defeat Campbell, 4-1 yesterday at Klockner Stadium on senior night. Will Bates of Thomas Dale High School returned after an injury to lead the Wahoos with 2 goals and an assist. UVA's unbeaten streak against non-conference opponents now stands at 21 matches. The team travels to NC State for its regular season finale on Saturday at 7 p.m. The number 5 Virginia women's soccer team is 13-3-2 and 7-2-1 in the ACC. They beat NC State on Thursday on senior night in Charlottesville. Chantel Jones of Clover Hill High School made 3 saves for the Cavaliers and earned her first ever career assist. On Sunday, the team slammed Clemson 6-0 on the road and scored 3 goals in the first 17 minutes of the game. Yesterday, it was announced that Virginia senior midfielder Sinead Ferrelli is the 2010 ACC Offensive Player of the Year. She also became the 3rd Cavalier to be named to the ACC first team all 4 years of her career and the 10th player in conference history to accomplish this feat and only 2nd in the 2000s. She was joined on the first team by UVA goalie Chantel Jones, and Gloria Douglas was named to the All-ACC freshman team. Next up is the ACC tournament, which will be held at the Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary, North Carolina. Cavaliers seeded number 3 and will begin play tonight at 7:30 p.m. against Boston College.
All right, we'll have a little more from Michael later in the show. We're headed for our top of the hour break. We'll be joined by Andy Selfridge when we return. Andy, of course, was a captain of the football team back in 1971, I believe it was his senior year. So, and he played 5 years in the NFL. We'll get into all that when we return.